right. Thank you, Pastor Japheth. And there's a bit of fake news coming over there just a moment ago. But anyways. All right. Well, tonight's 2 months till Christmas. I don't know if that encourages anybody. That's nothing to do with the message tonight. I just thought I'd throw that out there, see if anybody's awake here. But seriously, tonight, I do have a message on my heart I want to share with you this evening. And I do appreciate that song. And I want to be using my Bible as a roadmap as well. And want God to lead and direct my life. And I want God's Word to have the final authority, and be the final authority and have the final say in the decisions that I make. All right, Acts chapter 3 tonight. Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1 through verse 10. And tell you what, let's stand together tonight. And that'll help us maybe, hopefully, to stay alert and all those things. Let's stand together tonight as we read Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we look at the importance of having the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. Help us to realize that it makes all the difference. Lord, we realize the stories of the book of Acts are not necessarily have to be a carbon copy of the stories that happen in our lives today. But at the same time, Lord, we need to have our stories of how you've worked and moved. And we trust you to help us tonight, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we only have a few nights left here, so to speak. We're about halfway through. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to over these next few minutes, to just draw up close to you. As Pastor Japheth mentioned, Lord, help us, Lord, not to just say, well, how that a truth applies to someone else. But Lord, may we apply it to our lives in order that we may be a blessing and help to others and ultimately glorify you. And I pray that you would accomplish your work in our hearts and lives tonight. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, Jim Cimbala said it like this, the pastor of Brooklyn Tab, he said, "Christianity is not primarily a teaching religion. It is essentially a supernatural religion. Ministers are supposed to lead their congregations into fellowship with God himself and not merely their slant on the truth with innovated props and illustrations." And that speaks to me tonight. I think about that statement that Christianity is a supernatural religion. The basis of our faith, we look at the New Testament, is based on what? The death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take away the supernatural element of it, and what do you have left? Nothing. Nothing. You have nothing left. And I want to challenge us tonight as Christians to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and lives. Acts chapter 3 is the words Holy Spirit aren't mentioned directly in this passage. But of course, you read the previous chapter in Acts 2, they were filled with the Spirit. And you go right through the book of Acts, and you find all kinds of references to the power of the Holy Spirit working in their hearts and lives. What does it mean to have power within? Well, let me illustrate it by giving a silly sermon illustration tonight. Anybody like silly sermon illustrations? I don't know if you do or not, but I'm fixing to give you one. So, the story is told of good old boy Jeb. Hopefully, there's nobody named Jeb here tonight. Hopefully not. But Jeb was as you can tell, some of this is kind of might be made up, but you know, it's some version of it I read a while ago. Jeb was a woodcutter by trade, and one day he was in the store picking up supplies when this slick salesman came over to him and said, "Jeb, you need to try this newfangled chainsaw. I don't know if that's a good accent or not, but anyways. Why, this chainsaw will cut 3 or 4 times more wood than your old rusty axe. Now Jeb was a good old boy, but he wasn't against trying something new, so he took it home. However, in a couple days, he returned and he said, "Why, this chainsaw here thing is useless. It doesn't even cut half of what I used to cut before." "Let me see that," said this salesman. So he picked it up and pulled the cord, and it roared to life. "Ah," gasped Jeb, "what's that noise?" Now, see, Pastor Japheth, the explanation of that joke is that the chainsaw hadn't been actually turned on. The motor wasn't running. So I just thought I'd explain that to him tonight. Anyways, by the way, family aside, growing up, we used to always tell each other these lame jokes over time and so on. So occasionally we tried to, as they say, kill the joke by explaining it. But that's a silly illustration tonight. But actually, in the silliness of it all, I hope you catch the point. Can you imagine trying to run a chainsaw without the motor running? What a ridiculous assertion. But you know, tonight, imagine trying to live the Christian life without the power of God working in our life. All we have is what? We don't really have. We have a form of godliness, but we don't have the power. Charles Spurgeon said it like this: "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless." How we need the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And as you can tell from this story in Acts 3, and I'm sure many of you have read the story many times, this power produced real, profound results. It wasn't just a theoretical power, it wasn't just a series of lectures, but it was the power of God working in their hearts and lives. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we have God's power working in our lives today? And I think we need to ask ourselves, does this church, does the church where I pastor back in Tunkhannock, do we have that kind of power? I heard a story some time ago about two people who were talking about the church as a whole, and the one said, we can no longer say, like Peter and John, "Silver and gold have I none." But then the other one replied, "But we can also, we can't say anymore, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's a sobering thought to think about tonight, isn't it? And every single one of us, and I appreciate what Pastor Japheth said, it's not about pointing at our brother or sister and saying where they're lacking, but every single one of us needs to examine our hearts and say, do we have the power of the God working in our life? Is there something different about our life? And so on. Now, I want to assure you tonight that I'm not a doomsayer. I'm not a doom and gloom person. I don't believe that the church as a whole. I'm talking about the small C church. The everywhere where believers gather together in His name and so on. I don't believe that the church as a whole has lost its power. I believe tonight that there are people who are listening to the sound of my voice. I believe that some of you tonight have that desire. I shouldn't say some of you. I believe their heart, that your hearts tonight have that desire to see the power of God. In every generation, we can see people rise up and seek after God. At the same time, as I say that, and as I said, I don't want to be doom and gloom, and I don't want to just say, well, the next generation doesn't have the, I don't want to just go down that trail. But at the same time, we must be sober and realize that unless we have the power of God in our hearts and lives, the Pentecostal power from on high that the book of Acts talks about, that we'll have little impact on our society around us. We need that fresh power from on high that till people say about Montgomery Brethren in Christ Church, what's going on in that church? And I see the people in their lives are transformed. It's a power that's different than any other power. It's a heavenly power. It's the power of the Spirit of God working in our lives. And so this evening I want to point out to you a number of things that have to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking in Acts chapter 3, looking at the message of the book of Acts, and may the Lord help us to apply it to our hearts and lives tonight. The first one tonight, and this may be a sound a little bit surprising tonight, but that's the area of that we can be ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot really experience or not know about the power of God in our life. Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, the Bible says in Acts 3:1. They, of course, were not ignorant of the power of the Holy Spirit. They had just been filled with the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2. But the lame man, it seems, was. He was ignorant of the fact that God could forever change his life. That lame man that day, picture yourself being that lame person. Can you imagine what it would have been like that day? Here you are, you're just kind of expecting at the very most, you know, to use the modern vernacular, you know, a $5 or $10 or $20 bill or something. You know, if they're really generous, maybe you'll get a 20 or something. And he's just expecting, you know, just a little bit of help to make it through the day. He has no idea that about what Peter and John are about to do is going to forever change his life. Peter and John offer so much more than just, again, using the modern currency, a dollar bill or a 5 or a 10 or a 20 or a 100 or whatever it may be. Peter and John offer so much more. They offer the power of God. This man had no idea that the God was ready to heal the root of the problem. And that's important. Let me just pause right here tonight and tell you this. I believe the power of God can not only deal with the surface issues, God can handle the root of the issues. If there are problems deep within your life or your family or your, you know, whatever it may be, God wants to handle not just the surface things where I say, how are you doing? You say, fine. You ask me how I'm doing. I say, fine. We're all fine. But the power of God can go to touch the deepest part of our being. I know that because God's done that in my own life and God's help and so on. But getting back to the train of thought here tonight, this man had no idea that God was ready to heal the root of the problem, the very lameness that had kept him begging at the gate in the first place. It wasn't just another shekel or another dollar bill. It was the power of God unleashed in his life that would change his life forever. You say, what are you getting at tonight? What I'm getting at tonight is many times, in all circumstances, of course, people around us who don't know the Lord, they do not know the power of God. But how about us tonight who profess to know the name of Jesus? Are we experiencing the power of God in our lives? How it can transform us? How it can change us? If we have little or no power in our lives from the Holy Spirit, why would the world want to come to church? Think about that tonight. You know, if we have no power of God, then all we have to offer is tradition, nostalgia, entertainment, culture. All those things are kind of nice, but frankly, you can find a lot of those things in a museum. You can go look back and say, this is how it used to be back in the 1820s, or, you know. And by the way, I enjoy museums, but I need more than just a museum in my life. I need the power of God in my life. You know, years ago, people would go to church because it was a socially acceptable thing to do. But today, people go to church on purpose. They make the choice, and it's not the popular thing. It's not what everybody else is doing. They need to see the power of God working in our lives. The layman in our text that day had been laid daily at the gate of the temple. You see that there in verse 2. I doubt he was much interested in theology or philosophy. He probably didn't have a lot of biblical principles on how to deal with pain. He might not have known much about Jesus or who he was. But I tell you this, he did have a desperate need. He really needed to be healed from this thing that had kept him crippled for so many years. He needed the power of the Spirit of God in his life. He had no idea of what God can do. And friends, tonight, the world knows little or nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit. And where will they learn about this power unless they see it working in our hearts and lives? And I just want to challenge you tonight, and I challenge myself as well, that people need to see God working in our lives. They need to see the power of God in our life. When somebody has a need, let me ask you like this tonight, do they call you up for prayer? Are you a person they can have confidence in? You follow what I'm saying? Are you in touch with God? When was the last time when you prayed, you heard from heaven and you knew that God was going to work and move and so on? I do want to emphasize tonight, when it comes to the book of Acts, When it comes to the book of Acts, I think we need to be careful not to get ourselves into bondage. I don't believe that, you know, say if four of you would come up and, you know, feel like you need to come up and pray tonight and have pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would work in your life, you'd be filled with the power of God. I don't necessarily believe that you're going to have a physical tongue of fire come on your head like they had in Acts chapter 2. I don't think that's what the Bible is telling us. We don't need to have all these miracles replicated in a perfect way in our hearts and lives. But what we do need is the person of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. What we do need is the Holy Spirit working in our lives, the power to fix a shattered marriage, the power to overcome addictive habits, the power that brings purpose for living, the power that brings hope from fear, the power that reaches down to where we're living, changes us, transforms us, and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we are filled with the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. And friends tonight, I need the fullness of the Spirit in my life. We need something different to offer the world than just a little bit of what the world can offer. The world does not know the power of God. Let's make sure we know the power. Let's make sure we know the presence and the power of God in our hearts and lives. Secondly, tonight, there's the inspiration. We've gotten to the place here in verses 6 and 8 where Peter and John have been asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, says, "Look on us." And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now some might say, well, you know, Peter's taking a big risk here. You know, what if the guy doesn't rise up and walk? You know, you ever thought about that? You know, what if, you know, that is kind of a bold statement to make, isn't it? I mean, you know, if I would say to you, you know, and if you were crippled, you know, rise up and walk, you know, you either will or you won't. You know, we're kind of in no man's land here. We're either going to be right or wrong. We're going to find out real fast. But the thing we need to recognize from this passage is that it really wasn't all that risky that day, because Peter was truly inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that. And I want to give you personal caution here tonight. This is where we need to be very careful, where we say, "God told me this. God told me that." We need to make sure, because if I tell you God told me to tell you this, or God told me that you're wrong, which would be a great thing to say, right? You know, then we get kind of into this thing. Well, you know, if you disagree with me, you disagree with God, and then we don't know where the conversation goes from there. You know, we're kind of stuck. You've all heard these. Probably, you know, these, you know, I just feel like right now there are 10 people in the audience that need to give me $1,000 each. You know, you've probably heard some of those appeals. Who wants to argue with God, right? But here's the thing tonight. We do need to be careful about throwing. I want to emphasize that, because I've seen, and probably you have seen over the years, eccentricity and people, you know, saying ridiculous things and so on. But be careful, on the other hand, that just because you've seen extremes, be careful not to ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God really can and will lead us in particular ways. God can lead you to reach out to that neighbor. He really can. And he can. And it might not be something as dramatic as, you know, like Elijah calling down fire from heaven, but he may lead you over there to help that person. He may lead you to give a testimony on a Sunday morning that can be a blessing to someone else, and you feel like your testimony is insignificant and not as polished as somebody else's. But God wants you to say something of praise to God, and that testimony can be a blessing to someone else. And there's lots of examples I could give there and so on. And certainly, God would never tell you or me to do something that contradicts what the Holy Spirit told the biblical writers of Scripture to write and so on. But God really can. He can lead us and direct us. He can guide us. You go through the book of Acts. Philip was led in Acts 8 to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter saw that Ananias and Sapphira were lying about their gift to the church through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul rebuked Elymas, the sorcerer who's trying to hinder the work of God. What would happen today if the Spirit of God would inspire you to work within Montgomery Brethren Christ Church, within your community, within your family. I really believe God can lead us today. And I don't mean, I don't mean in weird ways. You know, if you do something really weird that everybody looks on and says, well, that's really weird, I don't think that's going to be a great blessing to the family of God. I'm just telling you, I've been around some strange things, and all it does is leave people feeling strange. It doesn't leave people feeling blessed. But we really can be led by the Spirit of God, where God can help us. And if we're filled with the Spirit of God, there's no telling where He may guide us and what He may do through us. And it's a wonderful thing. And there's been times as a pastor where, you know, God has laid a person on my heart, and coincidentally, you know, the right door opened. That person just happened to be home, just happened to have a good conversation with them, and happened to have a word of prayer with them, and so on. And happened to discern a need, and God was there. It wasn't just coincidences. It was the Holy Spirit leading, and so on. But God wants. I just want to emphasize tonight. Here we are. What are we on a Tuesday night? Most of us are pretty common, ordinary people, right? I think we would all agree with that. Maybe some of you are extraordinary. That's great. But most of us are pretty much common, ordinary people. But God can take every single one of us, and He can anoint and inspire what we do. He really can. He can take our words, He can take our testimony, He can take our singing, our witnessing, our praying, our giving, our Bible reading, our church going, our worshiping, our listening, our teaching, our loving, our thinking, decision making, trusting, obeying, working, you fill in the blank. And He can take the ordinary and He can make it special, He can make it meaningful because of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. God wants to inspire our walk with God. And I just want to emphasize again tonight, oh, how we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if there's anything that will combat the world's ignorance about the Holy Spirit, it will be people who live under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, I'm pretty much over being weird and eccentric. That doesn't appeal to me. But I've seen people who are filled with the Spirit of God. I've seen people who are led by the Spirit of God, and I've seen what they do and how it impacts people. I want to be that kind of person, and I trust that's your desire as well. Finally, tonight, there's the impact. None of us can deny in Acts chapter 3 the impact of that came when Peter and John, filled with the Spirit of God, made that call, and Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Acts 3 verse 10 says that they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. You know, one of the things about being filled with the Spirit of God is that we don't selfishly keep it to ourselves. We're a blessing to other people around us. And I want to be that way tonight. I want to be a blessing to other people. I know that, I'm confident that's your desire. And so as the people began to gather and so on, Peter and John look on, and Peter senses a mighty fine preaching opportunity, and he starts out there in verse 12 and 13, and he says, "Men of Israel," kind of paraphrasing here tonight, "it's not by our own power or holiness that this took place. No, it's the God of Abraham, it's the God of Isaac and Jacob." You see there 13, 14, 15, 16, and so on. And Peter just preaches, you know, the death and resurrection of Christ and a lot of great themes and so on. And Peter, the gospel message gets out, and it goes with power and with authority. And why does it do that? Because the power of God is working in the life of Peter. And I want to emphasize tonight in the Christian work, and I'm probably tonight talking to a number of people who form the core of this church, right? You're faithful to attend. Thank you for coming on a Tuesday night. It's to you that I tell you, you need the power of the Spirit of God working in your life. One of the signs, by the way, that you are filled with the Spirit of God, you know what one of the signs is? That we draw attention and glory to Jesus. That's a very common theme throughout Scripture. When someone is filled with the Spirit of God, Jesus gets the glory. The focus is on Jesus, and you find that there in Acts chapter 3 and so on, and you, of course, you find that in Acts chapter 2 and so on as well. But that's why every single one of us as believers needs to be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." God wants to put a song in your heart. God wants to have the music of your heart. Whether or not you're able to carry a tune in the bucket or not, God wants to have the music of your heart be a wonderful, God-honoring, glorifying thing in our lives. So tonight, as I talk tonight to Christians, as I talk to people who are faithful to attend the house of God and so on, you know, do you realize the difference it'll make in your life if you have the power of the Spirit of God working in your life? You know, we can argue about doctrine and theology, and ironically, it's interesting, you know, when you come to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can debate those things, as the farmers might say, till the cows come home. We can debate all those things, but let's get practical here tonight. Is the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life? And are you filled with the Spirit of God? You know, friends, tonight, I don't want to just do things in my own strength. When I pastored back in Tunkhannock, when I came here to Montgomery Brethren in Christ Church, I don't want to just do things in my own strength. I don't want just my own ideas. I don't want just my own little cute little sermon outline and ridiculous chainsaw illustrations. I want the power of the Spirit of God working in my life. I long to see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. I'm tired of man's power and woman's power, their efforts to accomplish things in their own strength. I want to see the power of God at work in our hearts and lives tonight. Amen. Well, tonight, that's the message tonight. And I just wonder tonight, why don't we do something just a little bit different here tonight? Why don't we remain seated tonight and ask God to help us tonight? Can we just kind of thoughtfully reflect? I like what Pastor Japheth says. What does he say? He begins the sermon. Does anyone have anything to share? And I don't know if anyone has anything to share tonight, perhaps. But maybe we just want to sit here for a moment and reflect about the power of the Holy Spirit, how we need His power in our hearts and lives. Some of you tonight, as parents and grandparents, you know, you want to be a godly influence on your kids, on your grandkids, and different roles in life. And we just need the power of the Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. And friends, it just makes all the difference in the world. I've preached messages before that seems like they, you know, they go over the edge of the pulpit and they fall with a thud. You know, they kind of land right there. But then I've preached messages, seems like it really speaks to people's hearts. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes a difference. It makes all the difference. And every single one of us tonight needs the power of the Spirit of God in their life. Let me just put it like this tonight. Does anybody want to just say, maybe you want to testify tonight, I need God's help in some area of my life, and just share tonight in your life? Does anybody want to share something, give you an opportunity, and maybe God's spoken to you about something, and just want to right there in the pew say, I need God's help. I know I'm a candidate tonight. Anyone else tonight? Maybe I caught you off guard. I don't think I've ever done it like this before, you know. But all right. Yeah.
My daughter arranged a meeting last Friday with a couple of Mormon girls.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead and I met with them, and they're going to be coming back again, and I've been trying to witness to them.
Yes.
So pray that God gives me the words and the wisdom.
Right.
Of what to tell them so that I can be a light.
Amen. Amen. That's good. We need the presence of God working in our life as we talk to them. Amen. And I've done that before, by the way. I haven't had Mormons, sometimes Jehovah's Witnesses, or I've stopped by, and you know, it's wonderful to be able to simply tell them our testimony that Jesus meets my needs. I'm not looking for something else. And so yes, may the power of the Holy Spirit work in your life. Amen. Anyone else tonight? good. Yeah, that isn't an easy lesson.
Being a supervisor over five people, trying to give them positive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And just how to present it.
Yes. Amen.
Encourage them.
Mm-hmm. May the Lord help us to be a godly influence on those people that come into our lives. And those five individuals, I don't know their names, but God does. God knows all the details. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
Because I'm around a lot of people, different people, different backgrounds, and people that go to church, people that don't go to church, where I work at and stuff.
Amen.
Some of them try hard enough, and I'm hoping I'm trying harder than them. If that doesn't sound too judgmental, I'm worried about me, not so much about them. I want to be the example if I can.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. May the Lord help. May the Lord help you and us to be an example. Amen. Anyone else tonight?
He's still working on me.
Amen.
I have gone through operations and things, and everything went well. But this summer, I had carpal tunnel in my hand operated on, and the doctor said that activated the arthritis that was sticking in my fingers. And I have a numb hand. And I go to pick something up and I go 2-3 times to get a hold of it.
Right.
God has been good to me and I look to him to heal these things.
Amen.
Because he has.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he told Peter his grace is sufficient for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at that and I say, Lord, give me patience.
Right.
So that's where I am today.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's pray for Sister Martha tonight, that God will be with her, and we can ask God for mercy. He'll give you healing touch or the grace to go through it.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else tonight? All right. Well, let's pray here tonight. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to remember all the details here tonight, but would you help me out tonight as I pray, okay? So if you help me out with them, different names and details here tonight, and for every single one of us tonight, I just, you know, that's my heart's cry, that God will just help us, and that the power of the Spirit of God will work in our lives. You know, we all have people that we're concerned about, right? And unless the Spirit of God works in our lives, we're not going to make an influence on them. And I want to be a godly influence, and I want to be consistent in all those things. And so let's pray for those needs and physical affliction as well, and witnessing opportunity and all these things. That pray that God will help us. Let's just pause here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that's here with us tonight. Lord, we really believe you're helping us tonight. And Father, we think of each one here tonight. We appreciate the different ones that have shared tonight. Lord, we think of what Pastor Japheth shared, that, Lord, it's tough sometimes to recognize that there are situations in life that we just have, we have little to no power to control the final outcome. Lord, only you can. And we think of the children of Israel facing the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's army behind them, and there seemed like there's nowhere to go. And Lord, but you made a way, but it was only through the power of God. And I pray that you would make a way in some of those situations. And Lord, really all of us no doubt face situations, Lord, that just seem so difficult. And Lord, think of this witnessing opportunity that was mentioned, Lord, with the Mormons, Lord. And I pray that you would undertake and be with our sister tonight, Lord, coming up here, Lord, as she has this opportunity. May she have the presence and the power, the fullness of the Spirit in her life, Lord. Lord, that it's not just the words, but it's the indwelling presence of God in her life that makes the difference. And I pray that you'd undertake. And be with a couple ones, Lord, that mentioned about influencing other people and so on. And I pray that you would help them, we pray, whether it's at work and maybe employees, or whether it's co-workers or people around them, Lord. And I pray that you would help them, Lord, to be a godly influence, Lord, and that consistent example, and to be filled with the Spirit of God, Lord, so they can have something to offer to the world around them. And Lord, we think of our sister tonight as well that was facing the physical affliction, Lord. And Lord, we do know that you're able to heal. And the book of Acts and many other passages of Scripture talks about the healing. And Lord, we would ask you, Lord, that you would give her a healing touch tonight, we pray, O God. But Lord, we ask, Lord, that whatever the case, you would just give her grace and strength, be with her day by day. And Lord, there may be others as well, Lord, that mentioned or unmentioned, Lord, that I might not be aware of. But Lord, they're praying about those needs right now. Father, may your Spirit work and move in their hearts and lives. We're trusting you to help us tonight, Lord. And Lord, dismiss us, Lord, with your blessing as we go our separate ways. But Lord, Lord, may the blessing of God rest in our hearts and lives, and help us, Lord, to go trusting you, Lord. Think of the book of Ephesians where it says, singing and speaking ourselves in hymns and songs and spiritual songs. Lord, we live in some tense times, and Lord, fill our hearts with joy and gladness and a song, Lord, as we go our different ways tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. I guess now you have to stand. I was closing prayer while you're sitting, but now you may stand and be dismissed.